Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Market Report. Let's go ahead and look and see how futures are trading in Kansas City. July wheat, 772, down 7.5. July wheat in Chicago, 712 and three quarters, down 10 and three quarters. May corn, 686 and a half, down 8. July, 638, down 10 and three quarters. December, 533 and three quarters, down 7 and three quarters. May soybeans, 1503 and three quarters, up 12 and a half. July, 14.17 and a quarter, up 8.5, and November at 12.21, up 2. May soybean meal, 4.48, up 7.90. July, 4.18.60, up 5.40. May soybean oil, 48.85, down 22. July, 48.87, down 35. June live cattle, 120.30, down 25. May feeders, 135.55, down 20. And May lean hogs are 91.60, and they are down 40.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo. He is with Global Commodity Analytics out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
One quick program note for our audience. Mike will also be on this afternoon at 12:20 to talk about the reaction to today's crop production and WASDE reports, how the market is looking at it, and then and the potential for what it means moving forward. All right, let's talk about the reports going in. It's usually uncertainty that creates the potential for volatility. When you look at these numbers at 11 o'clock, where is your eye going to go to first, and is there a potential for volatility?
I think the expectation that I have, Dave, is for the corn, we'll get the biggest acre number planted, we'll get the biggest yield number potential, and we'll get probably the weakest demand number, especially the weakest export demand number. So when I add all that up, I think my expectation, and probably a lot of other analysts and market participants' expectation about the corn, is that we'll see one of the biggest, if not the biggest, ending stocks number for the United States. And for the world, I think that's where the United Nations FAO report came out earlier this week. They put 13-14 wheat production globally at the second highest ever, 695 million tons, the 13-14 coarse grain production at a new record by 11% at around 1,266 million metric tons. And I think between that and the precedent USDA has set here in the last several reports, especially the WASDE report, I think the bigger number is coming in this May report, and then it'll walk it down later down the road when more is known.
So the biggest numbers that we'll see for corn, what about for soybeans?
Yeah, I think this is where the beans have the best chance to have the best numbers, excluding the United States wheat supply demand and the ending stocks for wheat, which may be a bullish surprise in my opinion, if it would go below 500 million bushels. But for the beans, this is where the trade continues pre-report now of going back to buying beans and selling corn and selling wheat, because you've got such a strong old crop spread, you've got such a strong cash basis, and I think the trade really does buy into the idea that demand has been strong enough that the 125 old crop carryover from USDA just doesn't work, given the price action we've seen in the last 3-4 weeks. So I think the trade would be disappointed if the USDA didn't come down at least 10 or 15 million bushels in the old crop carryover, and that would then keep the new crop 13-14 bean carryover well below 250, maybe even down around 225. And I think that's probably where the trade is trading, is between 225, 240, somewhere around there, at this 1220 area that we continue to try and get back up to in November beans.
And 225, while roughly 6 to 7% of a stocks-to-use ratio, it feels like a heavy number because we've been so low for like the last 8 years.
Well, and this is where the South American number comes in, because we've seen some of the South American estimates get walked back as well this week and last week. And this is where it goes back to the three cargoes we know for sure from Reuters is being has been purchased. One's on the water reportedly coming to the United States. What does the South American number do to the U.S. number in terms of putting more competition in place? I mean, clearly the trade is by going to nearly 1550 for spot beans in central Illinois. Clearly the crusher is out of beans at this point, and clearly the crusher is screaming for imports someplace to come in. So I think the market function is acting correctly. It's just that trouble I have with that 125 carryover from last month in USDA's old crop number. How does that work into the new crop number? The lower the old crop goes, the lower the new crop's likely to go as well, and that puts more potential to feed the bull on the beans. And I think the trade's been way ahead of the curve on that the last 3.5 weeks.
Which then takes me back to the corn and the carry-in from 12, from the 12 crop to the 13 crop.
Right.
Will they do an adjustment there?
They should. I mean, here's what I've got. I've got 684 for an old crop corn carryover. I think it could be as low as 650, quite frankly, given the fact that we have nearly $7 cash corn again at this time of the year, and we've got July futures running at 640, 35 to 645, depending on when you look at the market. But you've got essentially a 60 to 70 cent premium in the cash over the soon-to-be lead month futures. That smells to me that we don't have a 757 carryover out there in the corn. But I don't expect my expectations to be met today because of the precedent the USDA has been setting. In other words, I've got a 96.5 acreage number for corn. I've got a 155.7 yield number I feel very, very comfortable with, given the fact that Iowa is 48% behind its plantings from its five-year average, and Minnesota is 49% behind its five-year average. And Illinois, we all know what Illinois has been doing, especially south of 24 and south of Bloomington. So I feel good about the 155.7 yield. But I also feel like that they're going to be very negative, the demand in today's report. So I actually am walking into this report thinking this could be the biggest number we see and maybe the most price pressure we see of the season.
Yeah, I was interested in really taking a hard look and when I see the numbers at the demand for 13, 14 for corn, because we've been talking about demand destruction, demand pullback. I wanted to see what USDA thinks going forward.
Yeah, this is huge, because what I don't understand about I can understand where the government's coming from, but I can't understand the other private market analysts not recalling, and this is not a pointing of the finger, but let's all remember, where did the big pressure from corn demand come from? It came from wheat.
Wheat.
And this
yeah.
is where wheat really becomes the major focal point on the demand for corn going forward. And just last week, we saw the wheat bottom and allow the corn to go up limit, in my opinion. This week, we saw the wheat bottom and go up sharply, and we saw the wheat break and help the corn be pulled down. I think this is where I just don't see as much feed wheat pressure in 13, 14 as maybe some of the other privates do, and I don't see as much corn negativity from a standpoint of China. I think China's really going to be in for corn this coming year. They're already behind in their biggest province, and some are already thinking at this stage, some of the foreign people that I take a look at are already thinking that acreage shifting from corn in the northern provinces of China is taking place and beans are going in at this stage.
And very quickly, just a word on planting progress and weather.
I think planting progress is probably going to be looked at after we get past the outside markets and after we get past the weather and after we get past the USDA report. It's been great in certain areas. It's been zero in other areas. I think it goes back to Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota. That's your national yield, in my opinion. And as they lag, it's going to be much, much harder to get big acres and big yield. And quite frankly, that's where we're going to see if the high-frequency traders bite into a big report and drill the market down as hard as they can here today.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
That's Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He'll be back with us at 12:20 this afternoon to discuss what we see off those WASDE reports and the crop production report at 11 o'clock. Quick look at the markets. May corn, 683.5 down 11. July, 636 down 12 and 3 quarters. December, 531.5 down 10. May soybeans, 14.99 and 3 quarters, up 8.5. July, 14.14 and 3 quarters, now a half up 5 and 3 quarters. In November, at 12.17 and 3 quarters, down 1 and a quarter. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.